We'll discuss a little bit about the topic of Mechikas Hashem, the prohibition in the Torah of destroying God's name. So there's an interesting Gemara in Sukkah with David HaMelech, where David was discussing there was a big flood and it was in danger of, I guess, not destroying the world, since God already promised he wouldn't destroy the whole world, but let's say it caused some serious damage. And he asked his advisors what to do, because he had a little dilemma. They had a tradition that if you take God's name and throw it in, it will stop the waters. But there's a biblical prohibition to destroy God's name. So he didn't know what to do. So he said, "Any of my advisors, speak up now." So one of his advisors got up and said, "Kal v'chomer, you could certainly do it. Because if we see from the parasha of the Meisota, you can destroy God's name to save one marriage, how much more so to destroy God's name to save the whole world?" So he liked it, and then it worked so well, the waters went down, and then David started saying, "Shir Hamalos Mimama," came in for the waters to raise up. So that's the Gemara. So the first question is, which we'll discuss second, is what kind of question was David asking? Are you allowed to destroy God's name to save the world? Last I checked, it wasn't one of the big three. We know there's for three mitzvahs, one has a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, illicit relations, Gila Arayas, Ritzicha, murder, Ovdei Avodah Zara. Destroying God's name isn't one of them, so of course you could destroy God's name. So we have to understand what exactly was David's issue there. And secondly, is another kasha. We know there's a principle throughout Shas, Gabi Hilcha Shabbos, Hilcha in Kol HaTorah Kulo, Dalach of Grama, doing something indirectly. And usually if you do something indirectly, many times it could be only a rabbinical prohibition, sometimes it's permitted. So different laws of Grama. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, someone has a tattoo with the Shem Hashem on it, and they want to know, could they go to the mikvah? Could they go to the bathhouse in order to... The concern is the Shem Hashem will be destroyed. So the Gemara concludes, you're allowed to go into the mikvah, but you can't rub your hands on it, because that's Mechikas Hashem B'Yadayim. But if it's only Grama, so then it's Mutter. So the Kasha said, what was David Shaila? He was only throwing the water in the water, it'd be a Grama. So Gram Mechika is mutter anyway. So what was David's potential problem? So there's a famous tshuva, there's a famous Rashba. The Rashba gets into what is the definition of grama. And as we know, we have a principle in Hilchot Shabbos of adava sheino mischavin and psik resha. In other words, the halach is, let's say you're not sure if by doing this action it's going to cause a certain result. So it's mutter. For instance, the Gemara talks about you're permitted to pull a bench if you're not sure if it's going to violate any malacha. Since you didn't have kavana, it was a davar she'eino mischaven, so it's mutter. However, if you're going to pull that bench and it's definitely going to cause chilul Shabbos, so it's usher al psik resha. Like a modern day equivalent is, let's say you have your light on in your fridge, and you know you're allowed to open the door of a fridge on Shabbos, but if you open the refrigerated door, the light's going to go on, so then it's permitted. So then it's usher. So therefore over here, so the Rashba writes that the definition of grama is if you don't know it's going to happen, but if you know it's going to happen, even if you're not doing it b'yadayim, that's not considered grama. So the Rashba will have to learn that Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos in the mikvah, that was the case where you're not sure if the Shem Hashem was going to be destroyed. But according to the Rashba, if you knew the Shem Hashem was going to be destroyed, even if you're not rubbing your arm, it'd still be Aser. That's how the Rashba would learn that Gemara, how he'd answer how David, if Gram Machika's Mutter was his concern, this wasn't, since by case of David, by throwing in the Shem Hashem, would he be destroyed, and it was definitely going to happen. So therefore, in fact, that's how it's going to happen. It's not coincidental. That's the whole reason you're doing it. So therefore, that is your kavana, to throw God's name into it, destroy it, so it stops the water. So perhaps that's also another distinction. However, others raise another issue. The Dovev Meisharim, one of the great Gedolim in New York, he died in the early 1960s. So he talks about cases which is very relevant today, not as common then, infectious diseases. We have infectious disease specialists today. So bottom line, the details aren't important, but the bottom line is the case was that someone was admitted to a hospital or the equivalent, and anything he touched, anything that touched his flesh had to be burnt because of health issues, any clothes he wore, etc. So his shiloh was, am I allowed to put on tefillin? Because if I wear tefillin, they're going to destroy it before I leave. And on the other hand, I have a chiyuv to put on tefillin. So what should I do? Should I not put on tefillin? Or should I put on tefillin and whatever happens, happens. So he throws out, could be, first he says, it's dependent on the issue. There's a famous machlokes, the Ramban versus the Baal Hamor, that the Rishonim talk about a case where Bizman HaGemara, before we had this modern technology, you needed hot water to put on the child after the bris, before the bris and after. So, the shayla was, let's say, so if a person did a bris milah and the water spilled, so, okay, pikuach nefesh, you're going to save the child, you'll heat up hot water, your guy, depending on the scenario there. But what about if the water spills before you're about to do it, so you know now that if I go ahead with the bris milah, I'm going to have to cook other hot water, or someone else will have to. Am I allowed to put myself in a situation where, you know, am I goreim chilul Shabbos? So the Ramban says, yes, milah is docha Shabbos. You have to do a mitzvah milah. It's day 8 today, and therefore let the chips fall where they may. Ein locha mitzvah elo l'shaita. I'm not going to make cheshbonos. That's it. You go ahead and do the bris milah. And the Baal Hamor says no. You have to be rola es hanolad. You have to know, look into the future, and since there's a good chance, you know, that you're going to have to cut up the hot water. So therefore, he says, wait until Sunday to do the bris. And that's how the Mechaber Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, actually, that you wait until Sunday. Today's not Nogeach, we don't have the hot water. But the bottom line is, anyway, he concludes that you don't put on, that you don't put on the tefillin. And better so it doesn't get destroyed. But that was his conclusion, but we'll see. He also discusses the case where the Gemara talks about in Gemara Shabbos, the 19th Perek, when there are many times in Jewish history where there were bans on Torah, Tefillin, Milah. So the case here is that there was a ban that you're not allowed to wear Tefillin. So the rabbi defied the Elisha, the rabbi defied the Behadah. He was walking around outside with Tefillin. So the Roman soldier saw him, so he started running away. He went into a closed alley, so before the soldier got there, he took off his tefillin and put it in his hands. And the soldier said, what do you got in your hands? He said, nothing. I thought you were wearing tefillin. No, they're not tefillin. He opened up his hands, and they said they were the kanfei yona. They turned into a yona. So the question is, the whole discussion is, should he have taken his tefillin off? We know b'shas hashmad afiel mitzvah kala, one has to give up the life. Of course, that's a discussion whether it applies to a mitzvah asa. The Rama seems to say for merely not to do a mitzvah asa, you don't have to. That's why we see by Hanukkah instead of lighting outside, so we, you know, sometimes it was a shina agup, we moved it inside. And as I say, it was just a bit to ase, so, you know, we didn't have to be concerned. So they point out that some point out that I mean, it was mechikas Hashem, but obviously that wasn't through his means. So that was the question there, whether, so he felt whatever lamdish you want to give to it, he felt he was had to take off the tefillin. So that's the whole discussion. The Gemara says over there that tefillin wasn't a mitzvah that was accepted. So some say because he was the only one wearing it, or because, no, he took them off. He should have left them on. However, the pshat is he took them off, and he thought he was doing, that's what he should do, and that's how many learn. So we see from there, why did he take them off? Because better that you don't wear tefillin than get the mitzvah destroyed. So to hear, that was his conclusion, with the infectious disease, it's better not to wear tefillin at all than to wear the tefillin and let them get destroyed. So, of course, there are a lot of factors to it. How long is this going to go on? Is this a day, a week, a lifetime? And the other factors that go into the shaila. As well, it's not the same shaila, but there's a similar shaila in terms of when you have a moral dilemma, what do you do? Is it better to, let's say you know the tefillin will get destroyed. Is it better that you just leave it? You should do it yourself in a way where it's more covered there, because that was the shaila when Israel had to move out of certain areas. So whether there were shuls there or what was going to happen with the cemetery. So the question is, should we knock down the shuls first so therefore they can't be bevazed? Or no, better that do unto Grama have the guy do it. So similar shaila here. Here we're saying it better that the tefillin not be destroyed and therefore don't put them on in the first place. And then there's a famous Chuvas Harama. So they asked, a person got upset, fight with his wife, he took a neder, he's going to divorce his wife, then he came around, so he wanted to know if he could be, it was a case where he can't be matir neder, there was a case where the neder had to be fulfilled. So the question was, he wanted to know, could I violate the Issa Daraisa? Because we have precedent in the case of Mei Sota. I could violate the Yisod Daraisa of Mechikas Hashem to save a marriage, and maybe I could violate the Yisod Daraisa of a Neder to save. So Rama says, no. You know, other factors involved as always, but in this Nekudi, he said, no, because by Mechikas Hashem, we're not violating Yisod Daraisa to save a marriage. Is, well, Sasu King Hashem Olakechem is, you're not doing it, the Yisod is to do it in a destructive fashion. Well, Sasu King, you have to Mavaza. Don't make sure that you don't do this to God. You don't mavaze it. You don't mavaze God. So therefore, if you do it in a constructive reason, so the Rama writes that by Mechikas Hashem, it's not that you violate the Isser and then it's okay. It's that it never was Isser to destroy God's name. In fact, that's the story with Shlomo Zalman, that he was very big into Shalom Bayis, and he never fought with his wife. So he said to one time he was coming home, he knocked on the door, and the student said, like, why are you knocking on your own door? Are you expecting guests? He said, yeah, I'm expecting guests. When there's Shalom in the house, the Shechina is Shoreh. But when there's fighting in the house, so you send God away. God runs away. So I want to keep God in the house. I want Shalom. So he says, here the Rama, that's the nature of the Issa, which is a Chiddush. But at Masha'enkim, let's say by eating treif, let's say I want to eat all the pork chops in the world so there's none left. You still violate the Issa because that's not the nature of the Issa. So therefore, that's what the Rama concludes on this Nakuda. Maybe for other reasons you could do it. But he concluded the nature of the Yisr of Mechikas Hashem is different than other Yisrim. And getting back to our original question, how could David HaMelech go ahead? He didn't know that for the saving the Jewish nation, you could do Mechikas Hashem. So one answer was, perhaps not. b'makam darach l'nerayt, b'makam chil l'Hashem. Maybe he felt it was going to be different, that you couldn't go ahead and destroy God's name. Or, as others point out, then know that when do we say you're allowed to pikuach nefesh is docha? If it's derech hateva. In other words, if you know a flood's coming, you're allowed to get the sandbags, build the bricks and mortar, and put all the protection. You could do that on Shabbos. But perhaps to throw God's name in, it's derech segula. It's not derech hateva. It's not a scientific method. You throw God's name in, the water will destroy it. So perhaps the only time you're allowed to violate the Issa Daraisa is if it's derech hateva. You can machal Shabbos to save lives. But similarly, over here, that maybe that's why. And also, as we find, the Rambam writes that in Perush HaMishnah, it's at the end of Yuma, that the Gemara talks about eating a lobe of a liver, which is treif for a refuah. So the Rambam is not so sure. He says, if it's derech segula, if there's no scientific method to prove that this is necessary, so then perhaps it's usur. It could be a machlokes, a Ramban, whether you could take something derech segula if you know it's going to get you the right result. And similarly, we have the same issue by Tosas raises by Eliyahu HaNavi when he was assuming it was him, but they say that's who Tosas identifies him. That we know Elio was a Kohen, and it was Pinchas to Elio. But either way, so how could Elio do Trias HaMesim on the baby? It's an Isra Daraisa, there's an Isra of Tumas Kohanim. There are many answers. But one answer is that Tosas says, Pikuach Nefesh. What do you mean? It wasn't Pikuach Nefesh, but. Well, Tosas right, Pikuach Nefesh for the mother, perhaps, but the Mefarshim point out it was doing Tchiyas HaMesim. So it was Pikuach Nefesh through Tchiyas HaMesim, so why so it's Pikuach Nefesh? And the answer is no, since there's a Chiyav of Rofei Cholim, but there's no mitzvah of Tchiyas HaMesim, Machaya HaMesim, so therefore, perhaps, in a case where you're going to have to violate an Issa Daraisa, so maybe you shouldn't perform resurrection of the dead. So that's the issue. So to summarize, we discussed the issue of the Gemara and Sukkah with David, that for save one's life, one's family, you could do mechikas l'shem ha'mishum also to save the life. What about gra mechikas mutter with the Rashba? Maybe it's not mutter. You know it's definitely going to happen. You have the Dovev Misharim about the question of infectious diseases. So maybe it's totally in the Balamor and the Ramban, and therefore you shouldn't put yourself in that situation. We had the Gemara in Shabbos with Elisha with the tefillin. We see he took off his tefillin in order that he wouldn't have to get the tefillin destroyed. We had the Tshuvas Ramah about not doing Mechikas Hashem, that the definition of Mechikas Hashem is that it's only set up in a destructive manner, but not in a constructive manner, and therefore it's permitted. But you can't bring a raya from that someone could violate a neder or a treif to get rid of the pork chops. And then we discuss why it's pikuach nefesh. It could be all because of chil Hashem, or it could be depending on the issue, something which isn't derech hateva. Do we, as one permitted to violate an ista, the deraisa, in the case of pikuach nefesh, where you're going to try to get the desired result not through a normative measure, but more through derech segula.